This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Till I die.
Hello, good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello, welcome along to the show. This is LTIDT from Leicester Till I Die. Thank you for joining us, whether you are watching on YouTube or listening via your favourite podcast platform. You are most welcome, unless you're a Leeds fan and look what you're doing here. And I love the fact that this seems to have got one or two Leeds fans back up. But I just want to play this. Bear with me. We'll bring the guests in a second. But to all the Leeds fans out there, you were all over my platform before Coventry beat you. You were commenting. It was probably 70-30% comments Leeds to Leicester fans, and that's 70% Leeds fans, when you were top of the league. 2 weeks. Technically one game because it was an international break. That's how long you were top. I think it's 31 weeks we've been top this season. Bit of difference, but hey, look, never mind. It's all about going up. I'm not bragging the fact that we're top. I'm enjoying it that we've gone back to where, you know, to the top of the league. But this is having to go with all those Leeds fans that had nothing better to do than go and watch all the Leicester fans shows. That's all I can say. This is for you Leeds fans.
Thank you.
Leeds, a few weeks ago, you were saying that you were the best team in the league. Leeds, you're not even the second best team in the league anymore. You're the third best team in the league. 86 points. I don't care if you finish above us and we make it and we end up in the playoffs. I'm enjoying this moment for what it is.
Watch us on YouTube.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
So, to all you Leeds fans, stop shagging the cows up there. Stop watching Emmerdale. Go and support your team. Don't spend your life on Leicester channels. I know we're better than Leeds channels, but hey, you know what I mean? Get a life. Get a life. I don't know where you've all gone, though. That's the question. Kate, can I ask you, have you seen any Leeds fans about?
I've not seen any for a while. No, it's gone very quiet.
It has, hasn't it? Dave, have you seen any recently?
Yeah, I have. He runs the dog and duck in Bognor.
Well,
yeah, but he's a nice guy.
I don't know where they've all disappeared to.
Well, that's really the two of those lads we had in last week. They were all right, weren't they?
I literally, every time I posted a video, whether it was a Let's Talk Leicester watch along, a review, a preview, it even previews for like the Leicester Birmingham game, Leeds fans were all on there. We're top, and all this. Suddenly, they lose the commentary. We go back top. Not a word. But anyway, I just thought I'd play that. If you do want to watch that video again, by the way, it is available on Leicester Till I Die TV for all you Leeds fans, but I probably pissed them off because I've turned off commenting. Anyway, they'll have to go and get a life. Anyway, I've had a letter, everybody.
Oh, dear. Yeah. It wasn't me.
Well, it's a letter, and it is from a Mr. and Mrs. Blakey. They are saying, "Dear Chris, very disappointed to see that the music had to be taken off the video the other day before we had a chance to watch it. Could you please play the video again so that we're able to enjoy it when we're watching, which will be the debate show on Monday night at 7. Mr. and Mrs. Blakey, what can I say? Just for you, here we go.
Ryan Hayley Cropper.
Were we here at the time? Concerned about my hair though.
Mr. and Mrs. Blakey, can I just say, you know, thank you for writing into Multicoloured Swap Shop. all I can say is that Noel at the end's let himself go a little bit, hasn't he? And Maggie Philbin in the middle, well, you know what I mean? There we go. Honestly, if you any requests, please do. Don't be afraid to write in on a postcard. Shall we catch up with a few comments?
Are they still there?
They are still there.
That's better, Kate, isn't it?
Can hear myself think now.
I know, isn't it wonderful? It's like pure bliss of silence.
Yeah.
How was your weekend?
I'm enjoying my Nescafe refill now.
Ah, wonderful. I do need a cup of tea. I wonder if I could summon the waitress in. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was made all the better for the result on Saturday.
Indeed. We had, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm having internet problems. I was doing fine till Dave came on with his problems. You didn't see the panic I had at 6:55 this morning.
I could hear the excitement in your voice, so I guess something's going on.
Let's not go there, eh?
Is it the weather? It's not the weather, is it?
Yeah, it is. It's
it's pretty bad here now. Yes, it's way up to you, Kate.
Oh yeah, I think we had it over the weekend.
What's up, Kate?
On the way up.
Oh, on the way up. Sorry, misheard that one.
Get your brain out the gutter.
Yeah, indeed. Too much breakfast show stuff. we're sophisticated adults, professionals.
Where? Let me know.
What you had for dinner? Anything nice?
Anyway, we're back. She's had sausage and mash. You know that, don't you?
So I hid the sausage. I couldn't find them.
That's why she sat there with a smile on her face.
Don't forget, Mum and Dad are listening.
If you are still with us, Mr. and Mrs. Blakey, I can send you a copy of that if you wish for the for the archives. Right, we are talking EFL and are they hating on Leicester? First of all, they put this transfer embargo on us when there's no transfer window. They haven't included us in their let me give it its proper title. EFL Equality Code of Practice. 29 clubs across the three divisions, not us. And Enzo not being included in Manager of the Season. Another reason why I hope we go on and come top. I don't think we'll equal the points record, which is all we can do now. But wouldn't it be great? They've announced it now. You know, and it's ridiculous, Kate. We've still got sort of, six games to go, over a month to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly done as a demonstrative thing about the financial fair play and PSR stuff, but what that has to do with the quality and level of management of the first team, I don't really know. It's nothing to do with Enzo. I think it's spectacularly unfair, and it's quite ironic that they've given out an equality accreditation to certain clubs, really.
Yeah. But I understand McKenna, and to be totally honest with you, I'm not saying, Dave, that Enzo should necessarily win it. I think McKenna should win it.
Is that Rossini?
That is Rossini, yes.
Oh, for Christ's sake. That's a joke, that is, isn't it?
Well, exactly. But your take on the three that are in there?
Well, I think McKenna. Yeah, I'd probably award it to him for the resources and the fact that he's come up from League One and done what we did in League Two. Sorry, in the Championship. Maybe Farker's done well at Leeds. I mean, he's got a good side there, hasn't he?
Up until the weekend when Leeds United lost to...
Did they?
They did, I just thought I'd throw that in. They had gone the whole year without actually having lost, and they've not lost at home all season.
No? Okay, well, it's... But also, he dragged them up out of the gutter, didn't he, in the first month of the season when things were falling apart very early, and he kept them together. And he seems a decent bloke. But, I mean, I'd kind of hoping Rossini would have done well this year, but he's not. You know, you can't deny it. Are they in the playoff places? They might be, but he's certainly not worthy of a, what's it called, Manager of the Season award.
Manager of the Season.
Are they the only three in it?
Yeah, they're just those three that have been nominated. You know.
Oh, Kate, boy.
I can understand McKenna. Like they said, like I said before, I would, even as a Leicester fan, I would probably have to say vote for him because they've not had the resources that we had. Farkey, to go the whole season unbeaten at home and this year, up until recently, unbeaten. I get it. But Rossini in there when there's no Enzo, I mean, Enzo, you know, 30 weeks we've been the best team in this division according to league position. Surely Enzo should be in that three.
Yeah, I think so. And not necessarily because of the resources he's had at his disposal, which you can argue are amongst the best in the league, but the fact that it's his first season in British football managing, which is a bit of a tough gig doing Championship football first up with the pressure that came with the Leicester job that we wanted an immediate return. Yeah. So I just don't know where... I don't know where that comes from. I don't think Enzo had one bit, but Rossini, I mean, there are a good few points off the playoffs actually at the minute, the 6 points. They've not had a good run this last handful of games either. And what I think he'll play really nice football. They did a job against us, but I'm not sure it's in the upper echelons of management within the league.
It's just a joke, and it's not even worth talking about. Total waste of space. They really
are.
But
if we didn't talk about it, Dave, we wouldn't have a show.
I could give you a couple of...
Just bear in mind, with all your years of experience in the radio...
I could give you a couple of recipes and things like that. And a new knitting pattern, you know, plenty to talk about.
That's not a question. That's just a statement.
I used to, but I ended up with more stitches on the top and it going like that than actually I should have done. But anyway,
it's a joke, Chris, it really is.
And it's pathetic.
They're in ninth position, Hull.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, they're in ninth position, Hull. Won 17, lost 13, drawn 10, scored 57, conceded 52, 61 points. Is that manager of the season?
No, it's a joke. He won't get it. We know they're making a point because they've lost a case. They're making a point that they're bigger than any club, and it's pathetic. It's what you do in the school playing fields, you know. Absolutely, yeah. Well, you could, John. It's what you do out there when you were a kid. And it's
as long
just
as the raw. Dave likes it.
Well,
raw.
I used to, but I think perhaps my body wouldn't cope with a raw one anymore, if you don't mind me saying.
I would say Wagner at Norwich, you know, the guy at West Brom, Southampton possibly, the guy that's coming to QPR and turned their season round.
They deserve it more than
Rossini.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Enzo should win it. But to me, it does smack, as Kate said, that they've looked at this and went, "You think you're going to get Manager of the Year award after what you've done?" But it surely Manager of the Year is what you do on the pitch.
Yeah, it's just pathetic. Sorry.
I mean, out of those three, I can't see anybody, Kate, but McKenna winning it. I'd vote for him.
No, neither can I. I mean, he's lived the dream this season, haven't they? When I've spoken to a few Ipswich fans before, they're just living the dream. I mean, to potentially do a double promotion. When was the last time somebody did that? I don't even know. It's brilliant. The resources that they've had, the part of the world where they come from, like Norwich is fundamentally the biggest team. They've always just been in that shadow, really. And they've been able to put some amazing results together. The belief and momentum that they've got is definitely Leicester-esque from 2016.
It's funny that you say that, Kate, because not that long ago, it is a long time ago, isn't it? In the 70s, Ipswich were the biggest team, and by far. And then it all seemed to go wrong with owners and managers and everything else. And that's what we've got to be careful of with us. You know, they change the owners like it's going out of fashion, and people are calling for our owners to sell up. I mean, why? What could possibly motivate a supporter to want King Power to stop owning us? It's all beggars belief. It really does.
In answer to your question, Kate, I have the answer. My speed of fingers. What can I say? I've got speedy fingers. That's for another show on another night at another time. The last team to do it were Watford. 1997 to 1999, Division 2 to the Premier League.
Graham Taylor.
Wow.
Yeah. And before that, It was Southampton in 2010-2012, and Norwich the year before that, 2009-2011. They both went League One to Premier League.
We were close, weren't we? Were we? No. I felt we were close, but maybe we weren't.
We came up, didn't we? Then we faltered
a bit.
Or we just miss out? I'm not sure.
It's playoffs, wasn't it? It's playoffs, yeah. Watford. Mm. Don't talk about Watford.
No. So do not scratch your eyes. Evening, everybody. if you have any motivation to get League One, the ESL behaviour have done us a huge favour. Indeed, not all about winning awards, and I can say that because that's one we're not going to win, but it is all about getting promotion. Interesting thing is, let me just go through the awards here, because I have that in front of me as well.
KEH been nominated?
Well, I was going to say Championship Player of the Season, Kieran Dewsbury-Hall for Leicester, Somerville for Leeds, and Smodix for Blackburn Rovers. Now, I'm not a particular fan, Dave, I don't know them, I don't dislike them, I like them. So I don't watch many other teams, apart from when they play Leicester. So I can't say whether Somerville is great or not.
He is. And Smodic as well.
Would you say, under normal circumstances, would you say KDH would normally win that?
Ooh. Strikers normally win that.
And Somerville's a striker, is he?
They're both strikers, yeah.
Are they? Ah, right.
Yeah, I think that's the point. I think, but the fact he's been nominated seems crazy to me when they won't nominate our manager. It just seems backsided, you know, that, well, we won't nominate any Leicester players or Leicester manager because they've done this, but, oh, Dewsbury Hall's in it. I can't even say what I'm thinking.
Because they want to sell him to a Premier League club.
Calm down, Dave. It's not good for your blood pressure.
It's just driving me nuts.
But they want to sell him and promote him to a Premier League club away from Leicester. So better way to do it?
Yeah. You know, you don't think these things happen anymore, do you? Outside Russia and China. But they do. They happen in the bloody Football League.
And just say, Mr. Putin, we love you. Of the individual presenters, and that's Dave Smith, who lives in Bognor Regis. Can supply his address for you, Mr. Putin.
Don't bomb Bognor.
I know.
But it's just like,
let us check where Bognor is.
I thought they got better because Hardman, the idiot that ran the FA, Hardacre, wasn't it? Refused to cancel league fixtures before we played Poland in the World Cup qualifiers, and we drew. But players had played, you know, about 2-3 days beforehand.
Did you see in Turkey?
I did.
Galatasaray versus Fenerbahce, and I think it was the Fenerbahce side. It was a few games before they've got, and it was only a quarter final in the Europa League. They put their under 19s out. They went 1-0 down within a minute and then walked off the pitch.
Yeah. Something's going to happen, isn't it?
Mm.
I bet they won't win the manager of the year.
Do you think KDH has got a serious chance? He should have.
Yes, of course he has. So is Harry Winks. It's quite astounding that Harry Winks isn't up there, to be honest. Mm. I think he's got a realistic chance. I think Somerville will get it. Like Dave said, they do tend to favour strikers, but I just can't see them handing awards to Leicester, even though he's a homegrown player and wouldn't have even formed part of any FFP stuff.
Yeah.
So such is the world. And like we said earlier, tell me it's not political without telling me it's not political.
There's also some other players from other clubs that are probably just as unlucky not to be nominated. I mean, who picks the three? Because that would be a nice question to ask.
The EFL board, I'm guessing.
Well, can we name them and see what clubs are affiliated to?
Don't be silly.
I'm not even sure.
Well, exactly. So what's the point? You know,
I'm not even sure KDH wins our player of the season.
No.
It'd be up there, I think, wouldn't it?
It would be up there. Yeah. It's not It's not guaranteed. I think Harry Winks has got a great shout.
Yeah, I think Harry Winks will win it.
Unless
John's he's trying to keep KDH there. At Leicester.
Yeah, John's just said there, is KDH top with goals and assists? Possibly.
Of Leicester, he is, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, some of them have gone, what are their assists like? But, yeah, it's just weird. But it just made me think I'll probably try and get, remember that guy I had on from the EFL? I'll probably try and get him on and do a show about these
please.
Awards, you know. And because he was on the executive committee at one stage, so it'd be interesting.
He's been out of it a few years, hasn't he? But he still knows what's going on.
Exactly, and he's very knowledgeable about it and speaks very well, as you would expect as well.
Anyway, it's a joke.
But there we go. The EFL League behaviour towards Leicester City has triggered the Foxes' never quit mentality. It does make you wonder, because since all that happened, it has been two wins, and maybe that famous blip that I kept going on about has ended. We can but hope. We can but hope.
Big night. Tomorrow night's a big night, isn't it?
It is. It
well,
is.
They all are now. You know. Tomorrow night.
They are all cup finals, Dave. Right. Now, I didn't know this existed.
Game of two halves.
But, yeah. Or two ends, as you were struggling with earlier.
Oh, was.
Kate, this is the EFL Equality Code of Practice. Now, I'm just going to read you the blurb here, because I had no idea that this even existed. But 29 EFL clubs have received their EFL Equality Code of Practice rating as the league announced the first group of clubs to receive results of assessments covering equality, diversity, and inclusion. Watford, Huddersfield, Blackburn, Stoke, Salford City, MK Dons, Charlton Athletic, Preston, Lincoln, Middlesbrough all achieved silver status in their recognition of their efforts to enhance their EDI practices across areas of the club. As well as achieving silver, Watford and Huddersfield Town have both submitted applications to be assessed for the Gold Award. Now, we may be assessed for the Gold Award. I don't know, it doesn't say. I would have thought it would have said there if we had. Watford's We campaign, that's not what you think, Dave, sees dedicated club staff working in partnership with the Hate Crimes Unit at Hertfordshire Police, which has seen incidents of discrimination and abuse. And it goes on about Huddersfield. The following clubs have received bronze. Birmingham, Bradford, Bristol, Cambridge, Carlisle, Colchester, Crewe, Derby, Harrogate, Hull, Ipswich, Leyton, Orient, Mansfield, Northampton, QPR, Reading, Rotherham, Sheffield Wednesday, Wickham Wanderers. Launched in 2012, the EFL's Equality Code of Practice was revamped to become a multi-level accreditation scheme at the start of the 22-23 season, which will see every one of the 72 clubs assessed on their EDI practices by the conclusion of the 23-24 season. Now, Kate, I don't know. None of us know what goes on, but looking at Leicester as a club, surely we're inclusive as far as that can work out. Are you surprised that we're not on that?
Yeah, Leicester's a really multicultural city, so you'd like to think that that would filter into some things such as the football club. We've certainly got diversity across the football teams. Like Hamza's the only Bangladeshi, isn't he, in the whole of the Football League, I think, of Bangladeshi descent, sorry. So, yeah, you'd like to think that that's something that we focus on. I mean, I know Top is very fair with his recruitment and stuff. Obviously, they're Thai owners, so they bring a different sort of culture to the club as well, which is different to a traditional English setup. I've never really heard of this before, so I can't really comment on what the variables will do. We've got a female CEO as well, which I can't imagine a lot of clubs will have, to be honest. I know Everton have got a female on the board. So I'm not really sure on that.
Dave, your thoughts on it?
Well, one team shot out at me, MK Dons. They're not even a proper football club, are they? So how can they get it? I mean, they're just a franchise. I'm glad Wickham have been nominated, because that's a lovely club. And they were really supportive for that march that everybody did. I don't know, mate. You know, I mean, you make your own rules up, don't you, when you do these things? Unless it's independent, which it clearly isn't.
No.
You just, and nobody ever knows. You know, as Kate said, I didn't really know anything about it. So
it's. I don't. To me, it just smacks again of, we're going to stop you because we're Leicester. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes, so I can't say. But I just think it's, you know, it's very, very strange that as a club that is, we're probably one of the most diverse cities in the country.
Yeah,
and I think that reflects in our youth system, in our, you know, when you look at the teams that are out there, not just women, but the, you know, the multicultural players that we have.
Yeah, I do wonder though whether that the women's team incidents have caused a little bit of grief for that.
But it shouldn't, because what was happening with obviously with Willie Kirk, we're the only team that has got that in place in the Premier League. It isn't a Premier League or a EFL requirement. We put that in place, possibly because of the accusations against Jonathan Morgan that had gone on before, but we put that in place and we do that voluntarily.
Yeah.
So, again, we're taking extra steps in a way.
Yeah, it's difficult though, isn't it? If we did get accredited with it, they think, oh, well, how can you do that with a club that's had this problem? I don't know, mate. I can't think of any logical reason why Leicester wouldn't be included, because, as you say, all the work they do in the community.
Yeah. I mean, Dave, you said a word there that you could never really use when we're talking about the powers of any football division. And that's logic.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I've worked in an industry that actually defies logic as well. An industry that, if you took an exam, even though the answers to the questions were absolute rubbish and passed it, you could sell things to people. So I'm used to it. And you can't argue with these powers either, because you lose.
No.
You know, no matter what you do, you lose. And I don't know, that's just the way they are. I think they get into this power situation and all logic goes out the window and sense of reality and sense of fairness. You know, and there's a lot of treating customers fairly nonsense spoke about over the years with stuff, but, you know, treating them fairly has to be done, not talked about, not written down. And it's like this with the football. So,
and in fairness to anybody that's watching, Dave knows what he's on about. He runs probably the most diverse and inclusive radio station probably out there. You know, it's Surrey Hills Radio. I'm on it. So you need, if he employs me, that shows he'll take anybody on. I know. I sail very close to that wind. Let me just put it that way.
You did the other morning. But anyway.
Did I?
I can't remember now.
You'll have to. Yeah, well, I do.
Raised a few eyebrows in the Smith household, but then, hey, I do that all the time. You know what I mean?
You have to stay on afterwards and tell me what I did wrong.
I can't remember now.
It's, you know, you have your DJs there and your presenters from all walks of life with all disabilities. And it's great to see. So, you know, you do know what you're talking. Not saying that nobody else does, Kate. Dave has got, you know, that experience. And you go out and look. And I just don't, you know, we are so big in the community. There was a thing recently, I think, was it Harry Winks and I'm not sure who else was, but had gone out doing something in the community. It just, again, smacked to me of...
It's
anti-Leicester feeling.
Yeah,
it does smack of that, to be honest. I think we're just going to be completely out of favour on anything that the EFL can control, really. And that includes doing things like this, which are just platitudes, really. It's just platitudes to show defiance and standing against Leicester.
Yes. With a bit of luck, we won't be in the EFL anyway, so they can stuff it.
There we go. The diverse reaction of...
it's just annoying, you know, because I don't think I'm biased, but I don't think I've known any club so early on in the King Power rule that did what they did for the city. You know, I mean, they did things, they didn't have to do it, they did it quietly. It was picked up by the odd journalist here and there. And then, you know, when people start looking into it, they realise what they've done, but they didn't go out in a blaze of publicity to do stuff.
No.
They did it because they felt it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And every time, whether it's the redevelopment of the area or stuff like that, there's always something in the way.
Yeah. Now, I know everybody here likes a good quiz. In fact, I think Dave somehow got volunteered into doing another one on LTID TV 2. So do go and check that out for all your women's football, Leicester City women, and your quizzes as well. But this is going to be, straight after this, we are going to have Kate's specialist round.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts,
including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
Indeed, Kate. You asked to have a chat about this. And I think you've got some very good points to raise on our transfer embargo not during the transfer window.
Well, it was just rather than points to raise, I have questions to raise. I don't really understand why we still have a transfer embargo put on us by the EFL when our EFL accounts aren't going to be released until next year. We're sorting something out legally behind the scenes, and the Premier League are in the process of deciding what penalty they're going to give us if we get promoted next year. I cannot get my head around how their reach has been able to go as far as to say that we're still under a transfer embargo. I think, quite frankly, it's a joke, and it's them flirting with the rules again. And this might be part of the legal dispute, I don't know, but I cannot get to grips with the audacity of the EFL to put a transfer embargo on something when the jury's still out on what's happening and we might not even be in the league next year anyway. I just don't really understand what's happening there. So that's the first question. And then the second question, which we kind of said tongue-in-cheek yesterday, Chris, wasn't it, was if we can't buy players, then the shop's shut. And we shouldn't be able to sell players either. You can't come and buy our players from us if we're not allowed to buy any in return. Again, it just seems like and smells like they're making the rules up as they go along. And I think it's one of those things where if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck and sounds like a duck, it probably is a duck.
Mm.
And that's what I think is going on there, really.
Just read this bit and then I'll get your thoughts on this bit, Dave. New contracts at Leicester City are completely off the table for now amid the EFL transfer embargo. This is according to Leicestershire Live. Six City stars see their deals run out this June with Jamie Vardy, Wilfred Ndidi, Kelechi Iheanacho, Yannick Vestergaard, Mark Albright and Dennis Pratt all set to become free agents as things stand. While manager Enzo Maresca previously said he would have hoped to have opened talks by this stage, the embargo and financial difficulties means no progress is being made. A registration does not necessarily rule out City offering new deals to current players, but the EFL's rule states that new contracts will be dependent upon the circumstances of the individual club and will be determined by the league. Asked if the embargo meant new deals were off the table for now, Marchesa said last week, completely. That means that there are half a dozen players who do not know where their futures lie. So they're messing with the players' livelihoods as well. Whether you agree with the amount of money they're on, that's a different story, but you're messing about them. They don't know, you know. You might have somebody say like Dennis Pratt maybe is a bad example. Let's say Jamie Vardy then, who wants to stay at the club and give his all to the club, but doesn't know whether we're going to have this transfer embargo. What does he do? Does he re-sign? Doesn't he re-sign? Then if he doesn't re-sign, throw some weight, it's messing with his head because he might be too late to go to another club.
That sounds to me like a serious legal challenge is required for that, because that is restriction of trade, isn't it? Surely. Certainly if you contracted to a club and they want to increase your contract, you can't do that in any other form of employment. Your employment law solicitors be all over you like a rash. So it just, I don't know, it just sounds like they're trying it on for some bizarre reason. And honestly, I don't know the rules enough for that.
No.
But
just to put some context on that, yeah. Burnley were given a transfer embargo last year because they didn't submit their accounts on time. We did. Reading were given a transfer embargo previously because they didn't pay HMRC. That's not an issue as far as I'm aware. And no. I think Cardiff had one because they were in talks with Nantes whether to pay for that poor chap who died in the plane accident.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had a transfer embargo put on because of that, because they didn't play Nantes. That doesn't apply to us either. So I don't understand the cloak and dagger lurking in the shadows, making these rules up that are applying to us. It just absolutely stinks. It stinks and I hate it. Yeah. There's no transparency and it does just completely feel like being made up as it's gone along. Like, okay, well, we'll do this then. Okay, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. It sounds like that. Okay, you'll get off on that one. Okay, well, then we'll throw something else at you. Just throwing all this shit at the wall and hoping one of it sticks. And it really... Yeah. It's really unfair.
I don't know, because it's the first I've heard about current players. I don't know if any of the other clubs couldn't give out new contracts for existing players, because the signature's still there, isn't it? I mean, Vardy's signature lasts to what,
That's
June?
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, so giving him a new contract shouldn't affect anything.
Not apart registering from our finances. Him, are you? Because he's already registered with Leicester.
Yeah. So
again, is it that adds, I suppose, to the importance of getting promoted? Because if we go up, then we won't have this problem, because we haven't got at the moment, we haven't got an EPL transfer embargo.
I think Chelsea went through all sorts of rubbish, didn't they? They couldn't sign players, which meant that Mason Mount and players like that came on, but they certainly could re-sign their own players. So it's just embarrassing for them, isn't it, really? I'm going to have a look at all this because, as I say, I've been very absent on looking at all this.
I mean, for me, and I said this right at the start, you know, if we're guilty of anything, then find us guilty fairly and charge us, deduct points, whatever you decide. Look, give us a luxury tax or whatever. I understand that. But now you're messing with players, like I say, lives, careers, they're probably going to have young children, you know. All right, you know, you can say, well, they're on 100 grand a week. If they're out of work for a little bit, they're not going to go penniless. They're not. But the thing is, if they don't sign another contract, Kate, then they're out of work for 6 or 7 months.
Yeah, absolutely. And as much as the ludicrous nature of footballers' wages are when you get to the upper tiers of football, it doesn't matter what you earn. For all we know, Vardy could be spending 180 grand a week, but he only earns 140. It's never what you earn, it's what you spend that can create your own financial problems. He'll be living within his means,
yes,
coupled with some legal fees, about how he lives his life, and he's based that on his wages that he earns. So I just think the gravity of a situation to put a transfer embargo on has to be purely around money and debt to me. And Leicester don't have any debt. They don't owe anybody any money. We're not involved with HMRC. Top owns the club wholly. He's paid off a load of debt last year. If you are locked in a financial problem where you owe money, I get it. You shouldn't be able to trade if you owe money and you can't meet it.
Well, that's the only way you can't trade, Kate, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's the only way you can't trade.
Outside of that, you shouldn't be placed under a transfer embargo because you've pissed off your governing body. That's a different matter.
Yeah, It's embarrassing. They've just embarrassed themselves all night, really, haven't they?
I just don't think they know what to do, because I still stand by my point, is that it's fallen between two stools, between the EFL and Premier League. I don't think the rules cover it. And as a just a belt and braces, let's just throw something at them. Let's put a transfer embargo on and shut them up for a bit.
Yeah.
Again,
who knows?
We probably will never know, because we're only the fans. And yeah, all right, I know that gentleman Gavin from the EFL, and he was very good to come on, and you know, he put his point across very, very well and politely. But I don't, you know, yes, I can go on and read these things, but there's over, you know, nearly 70 pages of lawyer speak. Mm. You know, it means nothing to, you know, to me. I don't understand that. You know, you two both worked in the financial, you know, sector, so you probably do understand things a bit more. I have a guy who I pay to look after my pension and make sure that gives me enough money to keep me going every month. If I have a problem, even if it's not to do with my pension, I contact him and he goes, and it's answered straight away, you know, because I don't understand all this speak. And I think when you go on and read some of these things, I think the design, so us mere fans, do you remember, Dave, back in the day when, you know, fans could go to football, they'd buy a ticket, they'd watch the team, they'd have a scrap, and then they'd still have change for a bag of chips on the way home.
No, I don't remember those days.
I remember the fights.
Did you just end up in the cop shop? Did he not go by the kebab shop?
Maybe that was in the cop shop.
I was a coward. I kept away from the trouble.
Well, that's the story I've got. But yeah, I do. But do you think, Dave, I mean, we always say, like, oh, it shouldn't affect, you know, what goes on the pitch, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
But do you think that it has given us this? Because I was hoping it would give us a boost on the pitch. With Bristol, it didn't appear to. But since then, when more and more has come out, is it a siege mentality? Look at the way the players were with Enzo and, you know, Timer when that second goal went in.
I'd like to think it galvanizes the fans more than anything. You'd hope the players would still have that same professionalism, but you know, you'd like to think the fans would be a bit more tolerant, which I think they were on Saturday, Kate. Is that right? It was a bit better atmosphere.
The crowd were great. It was a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
It always helps when the sun's out as well. And it was just, more than anything, I think a lot of fans do want to get behind the team. It's pissed a lot of fans off, this nonsense, because it's just not clear. It's too opaque. You feel like you're being picked on. You feel like you're being told, sorry, this party's not for you. You can't join the big boy party. See you later. And I think, it also coupled with the fact the football was excellent on Saturday. The football was really progressive, really positive, good subs. And we just felt like it was a matter of time. It did feel a bit like the days of a few years ago, really, when things were going well. Like it was a great game to have first up after that news in the week.
Yeah, it was. And I'm going to say now that I've had a couple of jobs where, one in particular, where the company I worked for went out of business, and it got taken over by a company who already had a branch five doors away from where we were on the same street. So we didn't think there was a lot of future. And we basically, and, you know, not saying that what I did was right, but we ticked over because we didn't know, you know, a lot of the idea was, why are we putting the effort in when we're probably going to be out of a job if it's not 1 month, in 6 months? And true to form, they shut us down and kept the other branch open. Don't blame them for doing that. But it does, you know, we still turned up every day. We still went into work. Did I give the same effort that I had done before that? I would have said, honestly, no.
It is soul-destroying because back in the, I think it must have been the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, I worked for a building society. In the early 80s, they all started to merge, if you remember. You know, Halifax started taking people over and Woolwich and people like that. And the managers that were in the same town as each other were both destroyed. you know, because only one of them would have that job.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And when the Anglia Building Society, which you probably know, guys, which was used to be the Leicestershire Building Society, merged with the Hastings and Thanet, and then the South of England, the two managers of that town, well, Leatherhead, went for the interview for the job together. They were told to come up together because of expenses. Now, can you imagine driving to an interview where you're fighting each other for one job? But this is the brains of these people that run these organisations. They don't get it. So, yeah, of course it's soul-destroying. Of course people think about it. Players have got things, you know, time on their hands. What do you think they do? Switch off? Nah. They look at comments online.
I worked in the travel industry, and in the sort of 70s and late 70s, during the 80s, there were a lot of companies going out of business, you know, Clarkson's, Intersun, etc. And it was a difficult time. And I worked for Nielsen Travel at the time, whose head office actually was in Leicester. And we were doing I worked in Bury, and we were doing very, very well. We were number one for most operators in the town. But our parent company went bust. We got taken over by Hogg Robinson, who literally had a branch twice the size of us, say, five doors up the road. And the manager came in after 2 or 3 weeks, took me upstairs and basically said goodbye. And it's like, well, I'm not surprised. You know what I mean?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Away days are great. But when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. It does, and you know, he then took me downstairs and stood me in front of all the other staff saying, like, Chris is going because we've got the two managers at the two sites, we can't afford two managers, but don't worry, your jobs are safe. And they just stood there shaking their heads. You know, it does affect you, doesn't it, Kate? I don't know if you've been in that position.
No, I haven't, thankfully. But I can understand it would affect your position, definitely. But I think in this situation, we aren't going bust. I need to reiterate that point. We aren't going bust. We have broken some rules that could see us suffer a severe penalty. The wolf isn't at the door. There's no solvency issue. This isn't a Leeds 2005 issue at all. This is purely a breach of the rules based on spending rules. We are not going bust at all. So I think a lot of the players in that team, remember, have been there for a long time. Like Ndidi, Nacho, Vardy.
Apparently, there's a couple of clubs interested in Ndidi.
Okay. Sure. These players have been there for a long time and I think would feel like we do to a degree, that we're being picked on a bit. We're being used as a, what's the word, as a demonstrative that type of club, and I can imagine, I've not heard anybody ever say a bad word about Top. Top's probably their friend and they know he tries his best and he's had a very difficult hand to play and he's made some wrong calls for sure and gambled on bet on the wrong horse at some points. But I think it certainly galvanised them, I felt, on Saturday, and they just want, you've just got to make sure now that we get the job done, because getting promoted is the only option, it feels like now.
I'll actually tell you which clubs are involved. And this actually comes, and now you will realise why I always say to you, do not post any links that include Football League World to the group. Apparently it's Tottenham, Brighton, Newcastle, Orion Ndidi this summer, as well as European giants Barcelona and Juventus. I'm not
it's going to happen, isn't it? We're going to get everybody after our players. It's happened before, it's happened again.
I actually got a message the other day from a Watford fan that we were interested in one of their players. And I said, where the hell have you heard that from? How can we be interested in one of your players when we've got a transfer embargo sitting on our head, you know? But
well, there was something
also,
in the press.
Also, you have to remember that all of this paper talk that's going to happen between now and the end of the summer, as it always does, it starts to gather momentum now as we get closer to the end of the season. But don't forget that apart from Brighton, who seem to be Mr. Moneybags, who's going to be able to afford what we want for our players and stay within FFP?
Or pay them the wages.
The January window was so quiet. Who's to say the summer's not going to be? Because people aren't going to pay the fees because they can't. You could be in that kind of situation again.
I saw something in the press this week where we're racing with Chelsea and somebody else to sign a player. I thought, what?
I saw that. I think,
you see that? Absolute nonsense. You know, I mean, these guys, why have they got
a few more points?
Yeah. Why have they got a job?
That might be one silver lining of the transfer embargo that we don't have. We can dismiss every single link that we give it. But news that just came up just before we came live, and you were having problems getting in. Kathy was telling me.
Never a problem, mate.
Well, I don't know what that says about Kathy. sorry, Kathy. Love you.
Sorry, she's busy with a granddaughter. So.
Oh, is she? Oh, bless. Everton fail in using EFL Double Jeopardy guidelines that could help Leicester City. Toffees have been deducted 2 more points by the Premier League for their second profit and sustainability breach after the Commission rejected their mitigation claim based on an EFL guideline. If they're not, and you see, this is like, why not? If they're working together for us, shouldn't they be working together for EFL? Everton failed in their attempt to use an EFL double jeopardy guideline to mitigate against the Premier League sanction, but it could be a rule that helps Leicester City in their own dispute with the authorities. The Toffees received a 2-point deduction on Monday for their second breach of profit and loss. It adds to the 6-point penalty they received earlier in the campaign. Apparently, Everton are going to fight this and appeal, Kate, but they apparently, the Premier League wanted, I think it was 5 points, but the independent commission went for 2.
Yeah, I think one of Everton's fundamentals as to why they're appealing this is because of the inconsistency, and I'm completely with them. They are just literally plucking this out of thin air. The points deduction system is just a spin of the wheel by the sounds of it. Wheel of Fortune, or not so much, Wheel of Misfortune. So it's just rubbish, isn't it? I think every time people read this now, it's becoming laughable. It's just becoming laughable. You're going to have so many clubs that are on minus points, or I don't know what it's become. How is this the dominating factor in football headlines for the past however many months now about point deductions? It's just...
They had 10. I mean, 10 points reduced to 6, and now added another couple.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, how many? Oh, dear me.
Well, like I say, the Premier League wanted 5. It was the Premier League's written reason showed that the second sanction was initially 5 points, combining 3 points for the breach and 2 points for the level of it, with Everton 16.6 million over the 105 million threshold. But the deduction was reduced to 2 points based on mitigating circumstances, including the Toffees' prior punishment, loss of a big sponsorship deal, which I think we did this season, didn't we? We lost FBS, and their admittance, however, PSR breach at the earliest opportunity.
And I think they've said the war in Ukraine as well. They've said the war in Ukraine is a mitigating factor. Well, that's for everybody. Mm.
Yes.
They've got Russian owners. But you could say Gaza, you could say Brexit, you could say anything has impacted
the... Let's blame Brexit. Everything else is blamed on Brexit, isn't it? We didn't get... I'm not having a go at you, Kate, but I can just see somebody some remainer somewhere saying, in Leicester, going, Leicester didn't get promoted.
Well, and also,
that's what it is.
Also, they're saying that the new stadium, the costs with the new stadium are involved. But as PSR losses, which is what the Premier League is saying. But I always thought, like, our training ground, that's totally outside it.
It's excluded, yeah, infrastructure.
Yeah, but not according to the Premier League, it's not.
I think that this season, the tables are being decided by the leagues that run them, not by the performances on the pitch of the teams that are taking part in it. And I think that's a big shame. You know, I think somebody will get relegated this season, not because of they've lost more games than anybody else, but because they've had points deducted more than anybody else.
But I guess Everton's last deduction won't be decided because they're appealing till after the season's finished. So what do you do then?
Well, they will try and get this. As far as I'm saying, they will try and get this one through. There might even be another one lining up for them, it says. But I think they'll try and get this one possibly sorted by the end of the season.
Well, it took them about 15 months to do the last one.
Do you think that they're trying to rush these through because of the threat of this government, not quango, what's the word?
Regulator.
Thank you, Kate. See, she knows all the big words, doesn't she? Regulator.
Quango.
I thought quango was quite good. I always relate to a James Bond film when I hear quango. I don't know why.
Bond villain.
Yeah.
He's like a quango. But this regulator coming in, do you think this is why they're trying to make themselves look like they are in control and they are managing their own...
Manchester City, right? Chelsea, Tottenham, West Ham. You know, I mean, how much in control are they?
I'm not saying they are, but I'm saying, do you think this is why they are going after the easier clubs? And look, I've got to say, I know I'm a Leicester fan, and I know I complained about Everton staying up at our expense in a lot of ways.
You did.
It happened to us because we might not have got the team that we've got now. But, you know, it is the likes of Everton, Forest. I mean, how are Luton getting on? How are they managing it? You know what I mean? They seem to be coming after all the... And we've said this before, but to me, it does smack that they're trying to rush these things through. They say, oh, hello, sir. Yes, we're doing... We know we're looking after our own. You don't need to get involved. I think it smacks of that.
You could almost argue that it's their way of controlling who is actually in the Premier League. And in my cynical head, that's controlling things off the field and fixing it. And then for me, in a really extreme view, could be VAR is your on-field legal match fixing.
Yeah.
Indeed. I just...
So you've got off
the field being fixed legally.
Well, you saw it at the weekend, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sake, if you can't tell it on a screen when I think a lot of people could tell it straight away, what's happening? Why is that not fixed?
You could argue it's legalised match fixing. This seems the off field way of fixing who is in the league. Like I saw an Everton fan today put on Twitter, whatever it was. It just feels like, oh, you've won a game, so we'll take those points off you.
Yes.
And you can't help but think that must be what it feels like.
I mean, it took them, 8 or 9 months to do it last time. It's now, the 5 months since they were fined, the 10 points, something like that, isn't it? Four or five. Well, it must be. It was November, wasn't it? 5 months. So they're going to appeal another one. I mean, it's just going to drag on and on. And Manchester City, well, who knows? That could be another 20, 30 years. We probably won't live to see that one. So, I mean, it's a joke. You're right. It's all a joke.
But the issue is, like Chris has just said, is the implication, the constant knock-on effect, because they can't sort it out in real time. So the issue of not sorting out Everton out in real time was that Leicester and Leeds got relegated.
Yeah.
So now that Leicester and Leeds have got relegated, Leicester are now in hot water. But that was in part because of Everton's breach. So when you can't deal with it in real time, so therefore the system doesn't work. If it's based on the accounts and the accounts aren't produced till 6 months after the financial year end, which is quite normal to have audited accounts that long after, then don't make a point system that works based on those things then.
Because it has to be in time, it's
completely pointless.
And do you assess the breach if we'd have stayed in the Premier League?
Exactly. When it doesn't end, does it? You can always say, what if this, what if that, or that wouldn't have happened if that didn't happen.
I've just gone down a bit further, because that's the sort of guy I am. It's the way I roll. Going down a little bit.
He just can't stand us being in the limelight, can he?
On that, you had enough time this time last week and your night away together.
Good point.
Says on this matter, the commission sided with the Premier League, saying these EFL guidelines are undoubtedly a helpful and compelling benchmark. However, the commission, and this was the one who was looking into this Everton breach, the commission does not consider that they can be transposed directly into the Premier League rules. However, if City receive a punishment by the Premier League, the EFL's double jeopardy rules would come into play for their assessment of finances. Now, look, what was I saying about us mere mortals being able to understand what the bloody hell's going on? Because to me, I can't make sense of that. I can't read that and understand why we're being charged or why this is happening. And it seems to be almost on a club by club basis.
Yeah, it does. I think that's the crux of it. That's the issue with putting these rules in place that are so the penalties are so high if you breach, but every single club is on a different playing field in terms of everything. Like we've spoken about Manchester City, and they were allowed to pump all their cash in pre-FFP. You've got the likes of West Ham, who never ever paid for their stadium. You've got the likes of Newcastle and us, who have got money to burn, but we're not allowed to spend it. And you've got people like Luton coming into the league who didn't have a stadium fit for purpose, so why were they allowed into the league? You've got all these people. Forest weren't allowed to draw on any parachute payments because they've been in the Championship for 24 years or whatever it was. No one's on a level but you're all judged on the same thing, and it doesn't seem fair.
But doesn't it seem like the football, Kate, as well? 1 minute it's a foul and they're sending off offense. Next minute it's not even a foul or a yellow card.
Blood flow of football is just so grey, opaque, open to interpretation, on a discretionary basis. Offside is now a discretionary basis.
Yeah.
How is that?
It's such a shame, isn't it? Because everybody still loves the game, but they're screwing it for us.
And they're lucky the product's so good, because if the product wasn't good, this business of football would be so far under the ground, it's unreal.
Mm.
And in fact, Go on, sorry.
No, carry on, Dave. Carry on.
I said last week about why not let the top six sod off to a European league, and then we can get our football back the way it used to be. And there'd still be full... I said there'd still be full stadiums, but I don't know. I saw the Football League review and I'm disappointed how empty half the stadiums were, or most of them. That's a worry. In Coventry, so many empty seats there and they're flying. You think they'd have to go and watch matches to get their semi-final tickets, but you know, a lot of the grounds were pretty empty. I think Leicester's is one of the few, Leicester and Leeds, I guess, maybe Norwich, Ipswich, but you know, the few clubs that are actually filling their grounds. Even Southampton struggle. Terrible, really, isn't it?
Ronald says here, it's depressing we're having to discuss these issues when we have a massive game tomorrow.
Yeah.
It is. We're not talking about the game in this show, Ronald, because it is just a general debate show. We do other shows where we talk about the individual games. But yes, it would be nice to be able to talk about something nice. Sorry, Kate, you were going to say...
I don't know.
The moment's gone. The moment's gone.
It's catching.
I don't think I was going to say anything.
No, you started to say something, and I said, just a moment, Kate, because I just wanted to read that point out. But the moment has gone. The moment has passed us by. Don't forget to check out tomorrow. It's Tuesday tomorrow. We all know what happens on a Tuesday.
So my screen's not big enough now. I can't get my arm in.
That's it.
Push a bit harder, Dave. It'll go in.
It's like little David's ears.
But no, just because he's at the end of the show now, but just to know, you know what we were saying about the fighting earlier. I can remember I've never been so scared at a match as I was. And I used to live in Blackburn for many years. And when we were in the same division as Blackburn and Leicester, and both in the Championship, I used to go to Blackburn to watch them play Leicester and sit in the Blackburn away end, and I never felt bothered at all. You know, I didn't take advantage. I didn't cheer if we scored or anything like that. Although, of course, the Craig Levein years, we didn't score very often. But
no.
I went to one game. This was when I lived in Leicester, and we were at Filbert Street, and we played Chelsea on a Friday night, and we were moved to the Friday because Tigers were playing a game on the Saturday. And of course, they didn't want, you know, the two sets of fans together. So we were moved to the Friday night. I had a plastic water bottle taken off me because it was dangerous, because the lid was dangerous, apparently.
That happens to me now. I don't know what kind of arm they think I've got.
I know. But it was when we had pens. Right? So you had the four pens. So pen one, I think, was the away fans, and pen two in the Spy and Cop. And I went in there. Now, I went with a mate, Simon. I've got to be honest with you. He was built like a brick shit house. I mean, you know, normally I feel as safe as anything with him. We went into pen two, and there was sparks going off, fighting in the family stand, you know, the family stand that they had, there was fighting in there. And, of course, Leicester, never doing anything that you actually expect them to do, scored. And we're playing Chelsea. To go, fuck's sake, why have you scored? Do you know what I mean? Just, you know. And then, because although there were separate pens, there was actually doors between all of the pens, I suppose for safety. And 10 Chelsea fans burst through from pen one to pen two, which is supposed to be the main hard Leicester pen. And we all ran into the corner. And then these 10 Chelsea fans. Anyway, they were shoved back into their pen. Just before half time, we let Chelsea equalise, thank God. And it was 1-1. And I came to leave the start. I said to my mate Simon, I went, I can't do that. I'm not enjoying this game. I'm going to go. And he went, good, I'm glad you said that, because I want to go as well. We couldn't get out. We were locked in. Can you imagine that these days with health and safety? We went down and the gate was locked to get out. We had to go and get a policeman. And the policeman came down. He said, like, why do you want to leave? I'm like, fuck's sake, mate. What do you think? You know, there's flares going off in the family stand and everything. So he opened the door and he actually went, stuck his head out and went like that. And he goes, run. And we ran. And there was actually a stabbing that night. I can't remember if it was fatal or not, but there was a stabbing between the Chelsea and Leicester fans post-game. I think it ended up 1-1 at the end of the day, but that was the scared as I've... And I've been in many away fans, many away ends as well. And usually, you know, if you're respectful and don't take the piss, that they can be all right with you.
No, I don't know. I've been in a few situations. I haven't got time to tell you them all, but, yeah, there's a lot of stories. West Ham away, the old ground. I was invited by an insurance company to go there, and I thought, brilliant. So I went there. We're sitting in a very nice area in front of a restaurant and bar, believe it or not. And Lineker scored. Of course, I went up, and I didn't realise how professional people can turn so thuggish within 30 seconds, because they all looked round at me, and my mate said, I think you better leave. But fortunately, West Ham won. And it was okay, but yeah, that's one of many I've been in, you know, especially a place like Anfield and Hillsborough and Stoke, you know. Just try and behaving yourself, minding your own business, and wearing club colours. That became a no-no, didn't it, in the late 70s, mid-70s.
You know, their fans were in blue and white, we were in blue.
Because only those woolen scarves your mother knit in them days, wasn't it?
The ones with the string that went up through the arm.
My mother knitted me a Leicester scarf. It was about 8 foot long. Unfortunately, she forgot to knit it together. So it's just, it went out about this big as well. So these Liverpool fans tried to nick it off me up at Anfield. And my mother used to come to games then, and she was pulling it back, and they were pulling it. Mother, let them have it. Let them have it. You know, I don't... And then some old lady with a handbag come and started smacking them with her handbag. That was incredible. She told them to clear off, and they went. I thought, oh, my life. What's going on here? And the coach got smashed at Sunderland. I remember that. I was sitting in the coach coming out. I think we'd won at Roker Park, or it was 1-1 or something. And then a brick hit the window right by my head, and the glass shattered. Fortunately, nothing came in at me, but oh, bloody hell. You know, no police protection at all. They got it so good nowadays, these supporters, protected all the time. So, yeah. She liked Bristol, didn't you, Kate?
Yes, I'm going to say, do tell us about the fridge.
Yeah. It was actually quite a nice walk from the town centre to the ground. And I think I said the weather was biblical that day, absolutely. And the day before had been like a storm or something as well. I think the game had been on the Thursday. There was probably a high chance it would have been called off. It was that bad. And then, walking home, we're walking back to the town centre, and the river was flowing pretty wildly, and then there was a deep freezer bailing down as there is.
But I went to Bristol when we got promoted. Bobby Kellard got the winner a Tuesday night. If I nicked off school to get down there on the coach and coming back to the coach, we had to run for our lives to get on it, and there were Bristol fans trying to get on the coach after us, and it took some burly guys and the driver to kick him off it. I mean, it was, what was I? I was probably about 15, was I then? Was it 1971, 72? It was scary, I tell you. But
it's incredible the sport generates that much hostility, isn't it? Like, it doesn't happen in any other sport.
It's a lot better now. There's only a few little kids who are thuggish, who think they're clever, but it's not as bad as it used to be by a long way.
Kate, you were wearing Plymouth green, but she has
not
got...
I do like the Plymouth kit, though. I think I've said that before.
But you have got Leicester pants on, haven't you?
Have I?
Yes, she has. Oh, sorry.
No, I mean, when I say pants, I'm referring to pants as in trousers.
Oh, you're American.
Yes.
I've got Leicester trousers on.
I thought you got blue ones on.
Not my slippers.
When she thought I wasn't watching, she logged on.
Love them.
Not knowing I was on in the background as well.
Oh, you're not
being... I saw her get up and go out. I thought they were blue. I do apologise.
You're not being stalking her, have you?
The restraining order comes into effect from midnight, so...
Yeah, good. Well, just call me, Kate, if you need to.
I will, mate. Talking about needing police protection.
Have you noticed I'm not in the middle anymore? Because last Monday I did feel pushed out. There we go. Oh, come back, Dave. Come back. As John said, Dave knows. He does. For those of you that weren't in earlier.
Oh, stop.
God.
There we go, everybody.
They were all in earlier, Chris.
I won't put you through that again.
Thank you.
But it will be going up.
Hayley Cropper. I mean, of all the things to say,
Roy, he's been arrested for murder this week.
What, in real life?
No.
Kate, it's not real life.
I don't watch soaps. Oh, blimey. Exactly. That's enough of a soap for me.
Well, indeed.
The only fresh air she gets is when Emmerdale comes on.
Don't say stuff like that to me, because I already believe that you two have known each other for like 50 years or whatever after you sent that picture.
Oh, Dave, I don't know whether Dave was listening this morning or not, but I did put it out on the radio that he is.
You were apoplectic, weren't you, about it? You were gutted, distraught.
I was. He's a Leicester fan. He's from Leicester.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, come on. You know, we had the Free the Weatherfield one when it was Deirdre. I hope we're going to get the behind Roy.
Well, no doubt.
I check out of this conversation. This is ridiculous.
What do you mean?
Oh, we're talking about the EFL earlier.
Yeah, well, that's true. When she thought it was real, when she thought he'd really been arrested, she was like, "Oh, but now, no."
I am very gullible. When I was a kid,
I thought
Jimmy Savile was actually called Jimmel because of Jimmel Fix It. So I thought his name was Jimmel. She is.
You say that in confidence, knowing I'm not going to clip it because of who you're talking about.
We have a show. Don't be, you know, gullibility is nice and sweet and cute and
yes,
all the things you can't say about a girl. Kathy, my wife, we have a presenter called Ed. His show's called Ed Venture. So we were doing a show last week or 2 weeks ago together, and she said, "Is that his name, Ed Venture? Because it goes well, doesn't it, with the show?" I said, "No, darling, that's not. It's Ed Vance, and that's his show's name, you know, Ed
Mr. Venture."
I know. So gullibility is fine.
My dad used to think that John O'Shea for Man United, well, used to say John O'Shea for Man United, he used to call him Rick. So I thought his name was Rick for ages.
I have not. There are not enough days in my week to do all the clips from this one show.
Kathy thought, what's his name, talked about a 9-stone cowboy. Not a Oh, dear. I used to love it when she sang that, like a 9-stone.
A 9-stone cowboy.
You need him for a week.
I was living in Blackburn, like I say, and I went
living
to the
on a prayer.
Sorry?
Living on a prayer.
More than a prayer.
10,000 holes.
You know.
Is it 10,000?
Is that your dream woman?
Oh dear. That's how I knew Blackburn.
You were living in Blackburn.
Yeah, go on, Chris.
TikTok or not. That's another one that TikTok are not going to allow me to put up.
I hope.
The only banned one of them I tried to put up last week, but living in Blackburn, in Ewood, if anybody knows Blackburn at all, and I went along. It was the first game I took my my future wife to. This is probably why she doesn't like football. Blackburn hosted Leicester City. We were in the away end, and Blackburn were 5-0 up after 63 minutes. So as you can imagine, I was sat there pretty peed off. Then Stuart Wilson, remember him?
Yeah.
Stuart Wilson scored after 68 minutes. Muzzy Izzet scored after 80. Rob Ullathorne scored after 81. I mean, it was the comeback was on. And when Rob Ullathorne scored, I forgot myself. I did do a little bit of a cheer. But
I thought it was a little bit of a wee.
Well, that came after when I remembered where I was. But in fairness to the Blackburn fans, they were very nice. I wasn't in particularly a bad area, but they were all right. And they actually, because they said, thank God the game ended when they did, because if it had gone on, it would have probably been a draw.
Rob Ullathorne, tragic, wasn't it, that injury? I mean, he was doing so well for us. Yeah, it was awful.
The starting line up there was Casey. How many of these? I bet you'll remember any of these. Were you supporting Newcastle at the time, Kate? I don't know. Just wondering. But Casey
supported Leicester as well.
Casey Keller was in goal.
USA.
She's going to sing all the way now, don't you? You know that, don't you?
They got Matt Elliott, Spencer Pryor, Steve Walsh, Steve Guppy, Neil Lennon, Muzzy Izzet, Robbie Savage, Theo Zakarakis, Graham Fenton, and Emil Heskey.
Graham
Fenton,
bloody hell.
Was this a Martin O'Neill team then?
It sounds like it.
What year was it?
1998.
Yeah.
It was the first year O'Neill, wasn't it? Mm. But it was when it probably wasn't going very well. Was it early season?
Did we won Worthington Cup in 97, didn't we?
Oh, 97, yeah, of course, yeah. We were there so often, I can't remember.
But 5-0 up. And then to get it back to 5-3, and
Foxes never quit, mate. Remember that? Foxes never quit.
Well, I really like Spencer Pryor and Matt at the back. I really like them. Yeah.
I like Graham Fenton. I don't think he ever really got a good. And at Steve Guppy, why he didn't play more? Well, he didn't play more for England because he was paid for Leicester. But what a signing he was!
Brilliant, so good.
I couldn't believe his right footer he got. Was it Chelsea away?
Yeah.
Did he curl it with his right foot? I never saw him use his right foot.
Talking about good crosses, what did we think of the Eunice's cross?
Super. What dreams are made of, really.
I was surprised to see Mavadini get his head on it. I thought he might try and control it or something, bring it down.
It's perfect. Absolutely inch perfect for him. And Eunice came on and did such a good job. Both the subs did. Pratt obviously was instrumental in that move. And Yannick just going on the run of his life up the field for like 20-odd yards. I've just been reading that on The Athletic, actually. Rob Tanner's done an article about Yannick's runs at the weekend. That sounds like he's had the shits, doesn't it?
I hope he's well. I hope he'll be all right.
He probably did have after the goalkeeping error.
Yeah. Christ. He's in his follow through.
But apparently his dad was very good at runs, and it's hereditary.
Go on.
So it is. Diarrhea runs in your genes, doesn't it? Anyway.
Don't tell me things like this.
Oh,
don't play all in.
Don't believe it.
That's why I've got shorts on.
Katie Blackwell.
You
claim to be all innocent after your dirty weekend away last weekend with Dave.
No, it was just one night.
One night. That's what Elvis Presley sang.
One night in heaven. Stop it.
So I've had another message. No, I haven't. Guys, thank you so very, very much for coming on. We're at the match tomorrow. Don't know if either of you are free. If you want to come on, you are. Dave, if you stay on, I'll have a quick one with you. You're looking right.
I'm jealous. Steady on.
I'm not pinching him from you, Kate. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Just checking.
If you want, you know, we were talking early, didn't we? There was that film, Monge 2. Mange a Trois, that will come up afterwards.
It wasn't a film, we're talking about the Fools and Horses.
Oh, I'm back now. So I couldn't hear a word you said for the last 2 or 3 minutes, sorry.
Mange Two Rodders. You're like Dave, you're Trig, Dave.
No. Well,
I guess you're going to say, I'm Rodney.
He's had sorry, that room Dave. For 40 years. It's had 20 new handles and 17 new bridges.
There was some classics, wasn't there? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I've never sort of sat down and watched the whole series.
I know, I often think that I need to do that.
It was the one box set. Every time I went to do HMV, they looked as if it was on sale because I wasn't going to pay the full price. But
yeah, they were expensive.
So many classic clips. I mean, that bar, that one with the bar. I mean, that has got to be the funniest thing ever written on television.
There was one, I don't know where it came up today, but it did, where he's chatting up this French woman. I think he's in Germany, and he's talking to the barman in his type of French he does, and who has no idea what he's talking about. And then he starts talking to the, hello, what's happened here?
I've made this pig.
Hey, I waited all night to get big. That's a weird camera angle, isn't it? What the chuffing hell was I on about? So he's talking to the German in pidgin French. She's talking to her almost in Spanish, and she just carries on as if nothing's happened.
You're going to kill me, Dave.
When is it he tells the joke about doing a whip round on the bus and stuff about the guy that was going to drive over the cliff and Trigger just doesn't get it. Trigger's just absolutely timeless. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Trigger's just absolutely timeless.
What was it? I mean, you've got to love it when they were in, I don't know what they were doing. They're in this big room and it was like a meeting room and Trigger was talking to Rodney about why he was called Dave. Trigger, I'm not called Dave, I'm Rodney. So why does everybody call you Dave then? They don't, Trigger, it's only you. It's just a classic. Oh, Trigger, man. Gotta love him.
But look, he, just before we go, he said he was talking to the lads about he'd met this girl and they were getting on really well. And he took, you know, he asked if she wanted to go away with him for the weekend. And she said, yeah. And they said, well, have you seen her again? No. She, why not? What happened at the weekend? Well, I didn't take her. I went on my own, didn't I? Remember that? As if it was perfectly normal.
There's got to be some outtakes from that show. There is a clip on YouTube, but there's only about 6 or 7 outtakes on it. But there's got to be more. There's got to be more.
About 40 years old now as well. God,
see, still timeless. Still timeless.
Age is good. Nothing wrong with old age.
No, it's not. It's brilliant. I love it.
Is that true, Kate?
Age. Yeah.
You would know with Dave. I mean, that's
I know. Like a fine wine, Dave is.
I am indeed.
What,
cool. I don't even go there, anybody. Mum and dad are still listening. Legs right down to the bottom of the glass.
on this note, Dave, thank you so very much. And like I say, if you could stay in, that'd be brilliant. But just tell everybody all where right. They can find you.
Actually, this Thursday on SurreyHillsRadio.co.uk, me and the missus are doing a show 5 till 7 p.m. in the evening. I might be on in the day as well, but I can't remember. So, yeah. And then, of course, the breakfast show every morning, which Chris will tell you about. Thank you.
Indeed. Do check it out. She does let you get a word in, doesn't she? He's gone again. Kate, thank you very much.
I was waiting for permission to talk. Sorry.
Kate, tell everybody where you can be found. Well, obviously with Dave most of the time.
I'm on Twitter at KateBlakey40, so hit me up on there for some football chats.
And she's also got a new account, obviously, Kate and Dave.
Forever.
Yeah. It's the English version of Harry and Meghan. I'm going to get some T-shirts.
Also known as Boisty and Marlene.
Yeah, oh, you know what's coming. Marlene. You know, I'm making a note of that.
Oh, no. Kate, stop it. Don't give him ideas. It's bad enough as it is.
I'd rather look like bloody Marlene than whatever he put up earlier.
Yeah, good point.
I look like I'm straight out of Dallas.
You looked very sophisticated, I'll have you know.
A bit of a like swelling.
You look like a middle-class tart. Yes, Llewellyn, in a nutshell.
She was always pissed.
Nothing wrong with that.
Do you remember The Graduate movie?
Oh, I know. I look like some alien.
What's happened to my face? That's not me.
No, you are superimposed over the lady that does it.
Yeah, but he doesn't look at... Dave looks like Dave.
No, I'd look like an alien on that. Some of the big-headed, you know, the aliens with big heads, cone heads or something, whatever it was.
Do you remember the film? This is a bit of trivia for you. Do you remember the film The Graduate?
Oh, yes.
And there's the famous poster of the legs.
Yeah. This is the way around.
There's Llewellyn's legs. Oh. They're Linda Gray's legs.
Really?
She was very famous for her long legs.
Yes. Nicky Nacky
The B button stopped working.
Everything stops working.
Why isn't my B button working?
I have no idea, Chris.
It's work now. That's anyway, thank you very much. In a minute, Dave. Thank you, Kate. And hey,
see you, Kate.
Tomorrow. Come on,
English. All right, 3 points, please. By the way, we've got exactly double the amount of points as what was Millwall. Exactly double.
It's a bad sign, isn't it?
Come on.
Well, can I just say, and not a lot of people know this, we have just done the treble over Birmingham. If we beat Millwall tomorrow, we'll be doing the treble over them. Has any other team ever done the double treble in consecutive games in football before?
Don't know. Nothing to do with the manager, though.
And if so, will the EFL allow us to do it?
They'll get it called off. There'll be a floodlight. Floodlight failure or something like that. Never to be replayed.
Yeah. Thanks very much, guys. All
see
the best.
See you, guys.
Bye.
You two, look after each other.
Always.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.